We chatted about him all morning. He is very popular in the old heroes section of the heroes and villains, isn't he? Roger Federer, TK and Berkey up until 9 o'clock. And Roger Federer, 35 years of age, 8 Wimbledon singles crowns now, his 11th Wimbledon title, didn't drop a set the entire 2 weeks. Is he the best ever? Roger Rashid will nail this. G'day, Rog.
Good morning, TK. Matty, how are you, boys?
Good, mate.
Where does he sit with you guys? Matty, where does he sit with you as like a sporting athlete on a world scale?
100% up there. I mean, it's always, as we spoke about this morning, it's hard to compare eras, isn't it? But you look at what he's done, the age, and we've spoken about his ability to keep training, I think that is the biggest one. But, mate, from your perspective, last night it was a 3 sets to love. Yes, there was issues with Cilic, but how did you rate his performance?
Yeah, I think when you look at it from a world's perspective, I mean, you can also think it's a single-person sport. You get out there, you have no one to actually help you if you're handicapped at all at any time throughout the course of matches. So that longevity as an individual, I mean, if you even look at, I suppose if you wanted to sort of compare him to Michael Jordan and that type, I mean, you've got teams around you. You can get through certain moments.
Correct.
Whereas this is one person going out and putting it on the line and, in different decades. And I thought last night was flawless. I thought his 2 weeks were flawless. You know, the week leading in, he wins a title. And then he sort of jumps in with a lot of confidence, but then he plays his way in. He's only losing 4 service games for the whole entire tournament, which is massive on this court. And he played every match out on centre court as well. There wasn't a match played on court one. And from the start, some tight moments. Both players were tight. There's obviously great nerves out there when you step out on that court. It's so intimate. I mean, TV doesn't do it the intimacy justice of that court if you step out there. And but then when he goes into overflow, the number one weapon for him, and it's always been about this, is his purest tennis matches have all been dictated around his serve. And as much as everyone looks about the grace and beauty of everything else that he does and the shot making, this serve that he has, the accuracy and his ability to find the serve when it's needed the most is extraordinary. It's one of the great weapons that we've seen in throughout the history of the game.
Yeah, Rog, I remember Nicholas once saying about Tiger Woods, he's seen better putters, he's seen better drivers, he's seen better short games, he's seen better iron play, but he's never seen a bloke who does all the aspects of the game that well at the same time. Is that a bit like Roger?
Yeah, look, absolutely. I think it's spot on. I mean, there's he's also added to the repertoire. He's coming over his backhand side a lot more. He's hitting that more aggressively. He used to, that used to be a shot that where he didn't really dictate with or he didn't step into as much. Now he's doing that. He's using the full court more. TK and Matty, where he's using the whole grass court and the whole tennis court in general, where he was sort of spending a bit more time off the back of the court. Stefan Edberg started that transition, and then it's even moved into another space now. But I just think also, the calmness of when you can be out there, you just think of the amount of times you've turned up and actually walked on to a stage where you actually feel so comfortable and so relaxed in your mind that you're allowed to let your game go and do what it does. That's got to be a massive advantage. But for him to have the passion and the alertness and the love of the game for such a long period of time is extraordinary. That's the one. And that you hit it on the head that, to do the training, the stuff that people don't see is the most critical factor. The fact that you can actually do so much of that to put yourself in that position, I think, is remarkable. He's going, he wants to be back next year. He said he wants to come and defend his title. How could you not?
Yeah.
Because, right now he'd sort of start slight favourite. I know it's a long time away, 12 months, but his body's... You got to also look at athletes and you look at how they play sport, and his body's such a relaxed body. There's not a lot of tension in his body, so the injuries don't come. He's able to stay pretty much injury-free except for last year because of that. And disappointing for Marin Cilic, though, because I think we just saw someone who... I think there was quite a lot of fatigue mentally, and it turned up and it sort of played its part. I know... I was a bit, he trained for an hour and 20 minutes the day before, I know that was his routine leading into to all his matches, but I just feel like, you know, there's so much hype around that one match. The more you're on the court, the more you're assessing and thinking about things. And I just think you can sort of spend a lot of petrol tickets on that, you know, that 24 yeah. hours leading in, and maybe that was the case.
Rog, let me ask you a question about no Nadal, no Murray, no Djokovic. Would that have worried Federer in the form that he was in?
If those guys were around, Matty?
Correct, yeah. If they made it through.
Look, I think that, they just engage you more often on the tennis court, I suppose. If you look at that match, look at the amount of times there were free points, unforced errors off the other side of the court. So you could see the uncertainty in the mind of his opposition on the other side of the court. So it was sort of comfortable in the way that you could just, if Federer just, you know, he had to stay there and do what he did. Obviously, that's not easy, but there was so much given to him, which allowed the bit of comfort, if you know what I mean. Whereas you take Andy and Novak and Rafa on the other side of the court, they offer you that definite mental image and also the mental stress. It's a little different. The points are, I think they've become bigger and they're worth more often, more balls back into play. And so if you had to go back-to-back and play, you know, if you had to play Novak to play Andy, you know, it's quite engaging, and that physicality would have been a different matter, but, you know, they're not there, and you've got to stand up and just get through your rounds, and you never know what happens. And so, look, it was a remarkable. I mean, you think about it, 19 majors. It's a scary number, 8 Wimbledons. Rafa's got 10. I mean, the biggest tournaments in the world this year on the World Tour have been won by Roger and Rafa. The 2 majors by Roger, 1 by Rafa. The other Masters series have all been Roger and Rafa, except, and the only one is Alex Zverev, a young 20-year-old from Germany. He's coming up, and he's going to be a star. He's the only one to win the other big tournament in Rome, which is just a remarkable throwback in time, if you want to call it.
Tennis, lucky to have Roger, Rafa and also Djokovic all at the pointy end. Mate, let's talk about the women's. Venus Williams, 37 years of age, a 5-time champion, up against Muguruza, but in the end, 7-6, and I don't know, can I say Venus gave up in the second set? 6-love?
Yeah, it was a bit disappointing, wasn't it? I mean, it's
and then a press conference was, I know she lost the Wimbledon final, but geez, she didn't give a yelp in the press conference.
No, I found that a little disappointing, to be honest. I mean, she had 2 set points. It looked like it was going to be a tight tennis match, and Muguruza, to her credit, has been outstanding all throughout the fortnight. She's turned around a form where she hasn't been able to really hit the side of a truck, and for 12 months after winning the French Open, and turned up here and actually played so relaxed, so simplistic, and so aggressive under a coach, Conchita Martinez, who's a former champion. And so she coached her this. She's the Fed Cup coach, and so she coached her this 2 weeks. Her coach wasn't available. It's interesting because Conchita Martinez brings in a lot of relaxed state, simplified all things. And with her normal coach, Muguruza, there's a lot of tension between them. And so it's amazing what happened when you had someone who could give you a little bit of clarity, simplicity, and actually a relaxed mind on the tennis court. She played superbly. She was dominant. She had some big wins over. She beat Angelique Kerber in a big tennis match in 3 sets on court 2 in a round which was going to really sort of transform one of their years. But she deserved everything she got. She didn't take a foot off the pedal. What happened with Venus? I agree with you, TK. That 2 set points. Doesn't get them. There's an incredible point of 5-4, 15-40 on Muguruza's serve where they had a big. They went back and forth at each other. They smashed the ball at each other. Muguruza gets through that point, wins, ends up winning the game. And then from then on, I just felt like Venus, who is a champion, don't get it. Don't get me wrong. As a champion, didn't perform like a champion internally in that second set, and that was a disappointing thing to go away. So far off the where she was in the first set was really disappointing, and it was quick, wasn't it?
Yeah, exactly right. I'll tell you what, though, it's been an emphatic 2 weeks of tennis. Roger, thanks very much for your time in covering Wimbledon.
Thanks, boys. It's been great 2 weeks. It always is. Grand Slams, they throw up everything, and we saw something quite unique, and I'm sure there's going to be a little bit more history painted around the corner as well.
Look forward to next year.
Good on you, mate. Well done, Rog. We thank you so much for that European summer of tennis as well. And still plenty more to come with Roger Rashid.